The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were blazing already. There is a baptism I must still receive, and how great is my distress till it is over. Do you suppose that I am here to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. The father divided against the son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. Nice, easy gospel to preach on today. For much of the history of the Christian Church, there has been a certain amount of discussion about the Bible, of course, and in what sense it can be described as the Word of God. The Scriptures were written over many centuries by a number of different hands, and so it should come as no surprise that there are differences and apparent contradictions in various places. And on the surface, when we look at today's gospel reading, we could say that Jesus here is giving a contradictory kind of teaching to that of the compassionate God who sees every sparrow that falls, or the good shepherd who seeks the lost sheep, or the loving father of the prodigal son. What Jesus says here seems to run somewhat contrary to that. But the great thing about the Scriptures is that if we have a good knowledge of them, we can actually pick up echoes and resonance between one part of the Bible and another, and then light can be thrown on the bits that we find more difficult to understand. And this, today's Gospel, is a case in point. To those who listened to Jesus and who were gradually coming to see him as the promised Messiah, the words they heard him speak about bringing fire may have come as a bit of a shock, and an unwelcome one at that. What on earth was he talking about? Bringing fire, wishing it were blazing already. Strong words indeed. But if we look at the Scriptures as a whole, we will discover that in Jewish thought, fire is almost always the symbol of judgment. If we take that on board, we begin to see that what Jesus was saying was simply that the coming of the kingdom would actually throw into relief all kinds of things, and that it would also be a time of judgment. Because when the holiness of God meets the sin of the world, there has to be judgment. And that is an element of the teaching of our Lord that we cannot escape, even if we find it uncomfortable. There will be judgment for the simple reason that the God we worship is not only a God of love and mercy, he is also a God of holiness and justice. So sin cannot go unpunished. Sin has to be dealt with. It is not something that can merely be swept under the carpet. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Sin, like a weed, has to be rooted out and destroyed, just as the tares are burned at the harvest. Again, we see fire as judgment. Jesus knew that he had to undergo a baptism, as he described it, and by that he meant the crucifixion. He was saying that he had this terrible experience to go through, and it is fairly clear that he had the cross very much before his eyes. The cross, which was to be the means by which the Son of God, who himself was without sin, would take upon himself the sin of the world, and hence the judgment of God against the world. Do you see where this is coming in now? He's talking about wishing that the fire were blazing already. He's looking forward to his own passion and death. Such an image was very far from the notion the Jews had of their long-awaited Messiah, of course, because they were looking for somebody who would just come into the world with a great blaze of strength and defeat all opposition. So there's little wonder that they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about here when he was talking about bringing fire to the earth. And so for those who chose to follow this Messiah, division was sure to ensue, as surely as night follows day. The essence of Christianity is that far from being a soft option, it demands a great deal of us, its followers. Loyalty to Christ has to take precedence over the dearest loyalties of this earthly life, which is why Jesus said on one occasion, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Following Christ faithfully doesn't necessarily bring about problems, but it can bring about problems, which is why in that gospel reading he talks about families even being divided one against another. If the church of our day is not a dynamic force in the world as it should be, do you think that may be because we have lost the edge of the gospel? Have we perhaps tended to turn our churches into little more than cozy little social clubs where we enjoy coming to meet our friends? Yes, meeting together with fellow Christians is certainly an important aspect of church life, but it is by no means all there is to it. The gospel of Christ, lived truly and preached truly, is not comfortable or cozy. A priest once said to me, if we preach the gospel as we should, we'd empty our churches. There is and there has to be a definite element of making demands of people, of making it clear that lived properly, the gospel is dynamic, it is forceful, it brings with it that which is uncomfortable, even that element of judgment. Take away the seriousness of sin and its consequences, and you do away with the need for judgment. You do away with the need for the cross. Take all of that away, you have a free for all, a world in which we can do whatever we want with no consequences, because God obviously would not then mind what we do. And all we would need then is a cozy social club where we come to enjoy ourselves. No, that's not what Christianity is about. That is not the gospel as preached by Jesus Christ. He came to make us sit up, to make us think. He came to give us a choice between life and death. He came with a message which was to divide and to tell of the reality of judgment. He also came to bring us life in abundance and to show us the love and mercy of God. We have to have the balance. But we have to have the balance. We can't sweep away that which we find uncomfortable. We have to face it. Yes, we are free. We are free to ignore the less comfortable teachings of Jesus. But if we do so, we do so at our peril.